It's the Noon Report from Family Life, bringing a Christian worldview to what's happening in New York, Pennsylvania, across the country, and around the world. Weather with Kevin Williams, sports with Sunny Delfiette, plus special features and reports with the Family Life News team. Now, here's what's happening.
Good afternoon. Welcome to the broadcast. I'm Bill Price. Tensions with Tehran.
An escalatory spiral with the Iranians that could lead to war.
That is our top story this Thursday. The militants now gone from the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad as more American reinforcements arrive. President Trump blames Iran for the 2 days of violence there. The demonstrators, meantime, claiming victory today.
We pulled out from this place triumphantly, and we soaked America's nose in dirt.
The attacks took place after U.S. airstrikes last weekend killed 25 people linked to an Iranian-backed militia group. The strikes were ordered after a rocket attack by that group killed a U.S. civilian contractor. State Department spokeswoman Morgan Ortega says the blame here falls squarely at the feet of Tehran.
We have told the Iranian regime countless times, do not confuse President Trump's strategic patience with weakness. And unfortunately, the regime has done that, which is why that you saw the strikes over the weekend.
The Trump administration, meantime, says Iran may be planning more attacks on the U.S., in the coming days.
Do I think they may do something? Yes. And they will likely regret it.
Defense Secretary Mark Esper says the Iraqi government has to do more to get these Iranian-backed militia groups under control.
They need to get left of the problem and stop these attacks from happening and to get the Iranian influence out of their country.
As for the security of the U.S. Embassy in Baghdad, Joint Chiefs Chairman Mark Milley says the compound is protected.
There is sufficient combat power there, air and ground, that anyone who attempts to overrun that will run into a buzzsaw.
The turmoil overseas prompting Secretary of State Mike Pompeo to postpone his trip to Central Asia and Europe. Another Democrat has just dropped out of the race for the White House.
Today it's with a heavy heart and with profound gratitude that I will suspend my campaign for president.
Correspondent Bill Rakoff continues.
Julian Castro's campaign pushed hard on immigration-related issues, and he was not afraid to take on his rivals on the debate stage. But he just could not find a foothold in the crowded field. In a video released this morning, Castro said his presidential campaign may be finished, but he's not.
I'm not done fighting. I'll keep working towards a nation where everyone counts. A nation where everyone can get a good job, good health care, and a decent place to live.
Democrats in Texas still see Castro as a rising star, and some want him to run for governor next.
That's Bill Rakoff reporting from Washington. Wildfires in Australia have now claimed 17 lives and 1,400 homes. More than 200 fires now burning along the country's southeast coast. This man lives in the area.
We could see it coming, and then it was jumping from house to house. Plants underneath houses, they just explode into flames, and then there was embers everywhere.
The flames are blocking roads in and out of the region where a state of emergency is now up. First responder, Natasha Lorne.
More than a quarter of the country is on fire. This state of emergency is rocking Australia to its core. We've got main roads closed, and they could remain that way for weeks. So people are trapped, which is why the military has been sent in.
The Navy now evacuating people by sea in southeast Australia today. In Baltimore last night,
Jesse Bernard Evans, aged 47.
A vigil for the city's record 348th murder victim in 2019. Baltimore had the highest per capita murder rate of any city in the country last year. The number of opioid deaths in Chicago topping the number of gun deaths in 2019. Reporter Mike Krauser is in the Windy City.
789 people lost their lives to fentanyl overdoses last year, according to the Cook County Medical Examiner's Office, compared to 580 listed as homicides.
That's Mike Krauser reporting. The new year starts with two notable deaths from the world of sports. Former NBA Commissioner David Stern has died from a brain hemorrhage. He was 77. Sports writer Sam Quinn says Stern made the NBA a global commodity.
Prior to 1992, NBA players weren't allowed to compete in the Olympics. He changed that, sending Michael Jordan, Magic Johnson, Larry Bird, Charles Barkley, and a number of other NBA stars to Barcelona to show the world what a great sport basketball could be.
That sports writer Sam Quinn. We also said goodbye to this guy.
There's strike 4-1. Here comes the pitch. Strike 2. A no-hitter of Griffin Davis. The only man to throw a perfect game in World Series history has passed away. A few years ago, Don Larsen talked about his pitching performance in that 1956 Fall Classic.
We all had a pretty good day. I had a better one, but everybody had a good one.
Don Larsen was 90. For the first time in 30 years, vinyl records have outsold CDs in these United States. Officials say vinyl record sales topping more than $224 million last year. The experts say the warm sound a vinyl record provides is unlike anything else you can listen to electronically. The records have found a new fan base, too, among many of today's teens who are looking for something unique to listen to. Still to come this Thursday, back to work in Albany and in Harrisburg, a state lawmaker charged with drunk driving, and the Pennsylvania Farm Show's big butter sculpture.
Well, good afternoon to all. Rather quiet weather story unfolding for today, but the weekend brings a taste of winter. I'll have forecast details coming up in 10 minutes.
Okie dokie, Kevin Williams, checking the stories making news where you live in New York and Pennsylvania Thursday, January 2nd. House fire in Oswego County, New York earlier today has claimed two lives. First responders say two other people were hurt in that blaze that broke out overnight in the town of Pennellville. 16 different fire departments responding to the scene. Emergency officials still there. A cause has yet to be determined. Back to work in Albany as state lawmakers return for the new year and the new legislative session. Republican State Senator Patrick Gallivan from Western New York says plugging the state's $6 billion budget hole will be his top priority.
My goal, of course, would be to close that deficit and do it without raising any taxes and fees.
Fellow Western New York Republican State Senator Chris Jacobs says undoing most of the laws during the last session will be at the top of his to-do list.
One would be the changes that were made to our bail and discovery laws. Second, the Radical Abortion Expansion Act that was passed this past session. Third, the Green Light Bill, giving driver's license to illegal aliens. And fourth, the Farm Bill, which is going to be devastating to our family farms and areas.
Buffalo Democratic Assemblyman Sean Ryan says education funding, his top priority this new year.
You often hear that New York spends more per pupil on education than any other state. That's true.
Ryan says while the state spends a lot on education, the formula used for distributing that money needs to be more fair. Fellow Democrat Tim Kennedy says his priority this year in Albany will be Buffalo.
Making sure, number one, first and foremost, that Western New York is a priority when it comes to decisions being made out of the state capitol. We want to ensure that not only are we at the table, but we're at the front of the table.
The state senator says he wants to make sure millions of dollars in aid get to Buffalo and to Western New York during this legislative session in Albany. Bunch of new laws on the books in both New York and Pennsylvania as we kick off the new year. One of the biggest in the Empire State is the elimination of cash bail for people accused of misdemeanors and nonviolent felonies.
It's only a problem, quite frankly, if you look at it from a glass half empty instead of a glass half full.
That's Erie County District Attorney John Flynn.
For the past year now, almost over 18 months now, I've been telling my assistant DAs to not ask for bail on misdemeanors and nonviolent felonies unless there's a darn good reason.
Flynn says over the past 18 months, there's been a dramatic decrease in the population of folks who are in jail on bail awaiting trial. But a lot of law enforcement officials worry the law will put communities in danger. They say some nonviolent offenses like selling drugs to kids should require a cash bail to stay out of jail. The minority leader of the New York State Assembly arrested and charged with driving drunk on New Year's Eve. 67-year-old Republican Brian Kolb has apologized to his family and to his constituents.
He's being held accountable like anybody else would be.
Ontario County Sheriff Kevin Henderson says Kolb missed a turn leading into his driveway in Victor, New York on Tuesday night. Police say when they arrived on the scene, he was still in his vehicle.
He was cooperative. He was still in the motor vehicle. He did consent to a breathalyzer, which was indicated that he had more than 0.08% of alcohol in his blood.
And just last week, the assembly leader urged drivers celebrating the new year to not drink and drive. The case now being handled by a special prosecutor. Police in Bath, New York, sounding the alarm after two suspicious people were found prowling around the neighborhood early Wednesday morning. Authorities say they spotted the couple walking around homes and vehicles with flashlights near the Haverling High School.
The public should definitely maintain locking their doors to their residences. Lock up your vehicles and make sure that all your valuables that are in your vehicle are out of sight. That would include things like your GPS units, any, you know, iPads or cell phones that people may leave in there.
Police say when they approached the suspects, they took off. Authorities say a number of vehicles in the village of Bath, New York, have been broken into this week. Pennsylvania Governor Tom Wolf will announce a new statewide mental health initiative later today. Reach Out PA is a multi-agency effort to remove the stigma associated with mental health care. The measure encourages folks suffering from a mental health issue to get the help they need. Governor Wolf will announce the new measure at 2:30 this afternoon in Harrisburg. Pennsylvania ranks among the top states in the country for both losing and attracting residents. Family Life's Terry Diener explains.
A recent report by Storage Cafe, which bills itself as a storage rental marketplace, reports that Pennsylvania is the 10th most popular destination for people moving from another state. In 2018, the state attracted 253,000 newcomers. Yet, the report, which uses Census Bureau data, indicates only six states lost more residents. Pennsylvania saw 240,832 move out, with 17,000 moving next door to Ohio. Terry Diener, Family Life News.
Thank you, Terry. It's one of the biggest draws to the Pennsylvania Farm Show each and every year, and this morning a new unveiling took place. This year's world-famous butter sculpture, a tribute to Pennsylvania's sports mascots this year. The sculpture depicts three team mascots, including Gritty from the Philadelphia Flyers, Swoop of the Philadelphia Eagles and the Pittsburgh Steelers, Steely McBeam, Lieutenant Governor John Fetterman.
This is what it should be, is a tribute to our farmers because they are the superstars. And far too often we take for granted the food on our plate, where it came from, and the work and the sacrifice that was necessary to get it there.
The American Dairy Association sponsors the 1,000-pound butter sculpture each year. The butter donated by the Land O'Lakes plant in nearby Carlisle, Pennsylvania. The Pennsylvania Farm Show, by the way, will kick off this weekend from Harrisburg. The new year offered some new opportunity to get out there and enjoy the great outdoors. Both Pennsylvania and New York taking part in the First Day Hikes initiative. It encourages a healthy start to the new year by giving guided hikes at state parks all across the country. Elizabeth Kepley McNutt is with the Pennsylvania State Parks.
It is a way for people to get outside on New Year's Day, get out moving about for the first day of the year.
Yesterday, the experts gave guided hikes at 39 state parks all throughout the Commonwealth of Pennsylvania. Well, we mentioned it earlier, the NBA mourning the loss of its former commissioner. Sunny Time, your two-minute drill.
Thank you, Bill. Yeah, sad news. Former NBA Commissioner David Stern has passed away after suffering a brain hemorrage. NBC's Peter Alexander.
Stern did it by promoting stars like Michael Jordan, Charles Barkley, and LeBron James, adding seven new teams and helping launch the WNBA.
Stern spent 30 years as the head of the NBA from 1984 to 2014, making him the longest commissioner in league history. Also in New York, Knicks forward Taj Gibson remembers.
Growing up, That's the one person that you wanted to meet, especially if you were expected to go to the NBA. Getting your name called by him was big.
Trailblazer forward Carmelo Anthony.
People all over the world are fans of mine and other NBA players. It's because of the foundation that David Stern laid and the hard work that he put into and the vision.
The Knicks and Trailblazers battled at Madison Square Garden with the Knicks winning 117-93. Crowd loving up on Melo. Anthony scoring 26 in his return to Madison Square Garden.
You know, to be back in this building where I spent so many years, and you know, that love felt extremely good to me.
The Knicks have won their third in a row to improve to 10-24. Portland dropped five in a row. They're now 14-21 on the year. On the ice, the Dallas Stars scored 4 unanswered goals, including 3 in the third, to beat the Nashville Predators 4-2 before a sold-out Cotton Bowl crowd at the Winter Classic, the first outdoor game for both teams. College Bowl action, Oregon beat Wisconsin 28-27 in the Rose Bowl. Minnesota beat Auburn 31-24 in the Outback Bowl. Alabama stomped Michigan 35-16 in the Citrus Bowl. And Georgia beat Baylor 26-14 in the Sugar Bowl. And another loss in the sports world. Don Larson.
Got it.
The only pitcher with a perfect game in a World Series as the Yankees blank the Brooklyn Dodgers.
I didn't know the perfect game until someone told me in the clubhouse after the game that it was a perfect game. It probably hadn't sunk in yet.
Larson was 90 years old. For Family Life, I'm Sonny Dolphy.
Thank you, Sonny. Still to come on this Thursday edition of the Noon Report, tensions with Tehran are mounting. Julian Castro bows out, and tumbleweeds in Washington State.
My prayer for 2020 borrows directly from the Apostle Paul's prayer for the church at Philippi, that our love would abound more and more with knowledge and all discernment. For the Colson Center, I'm John Stone Street. This is Breakpoint. An oft-repeated, but in my view, ultimately misguided self-critique by Christians is that we're better known for what we're against than what we're for. Now, I fully agree with the spirit of the comment. As Chuck Colson liked to say, Christians should not just resist the bad stuff, but always propose a better way. Today, however, that statement's too often used as a way of saying that Christians should be more positive, as if Christians should be known for what we are for and not known for what we are against. But Christians just can't choose between those approaches. To put it bluntly, Christian faithfulness in a culture like ours demands that we be against many things, even as we embrace the hope of the invading kingdom of God. Otherwise, we'll only offer the world a sort of moral confusion. Case in point, just before Christmas, Christianity Today editor Mark Galley suggested that, given the conclusion of the impeachment hearings in the U.S. House, Christians should support the removal of President Trump from office. Now, so much has been said and written about Galley's piece already, I'll just focus on his two main and most problematic points. First, that supporting the removal of Trump from office is a mark of Christian faithfulness. And second, to not support his removal would harm the reputation of Christ and Christians. In other words, Christians should be against the president. It's always a weighty thing to bind the conscience of other Christians, and it should only be done with clarity and discernment. This piece, unfortunately, displayed neither. Moral clarity today demands that we be both for personal integrity in our leaders, as well as for the conscious protections of citizens. It demands that we stand against the taking of innocent preborn life, and at the same time, for civility and strong character. Moral clarity in our time requires being against the mistreatment of people on Twitter, and even more so, against the sexual experimentation on children by radical ideologues. At the same time, gospel faithfulness cannot be delivered by mere political calculation. To stand against the evils of our day, we need not overlook, or much less, justify the moral failings of our leaders. Whenever we do that, we become, as Chuck Colson warned in his own Christianity Today article more than 20 years ago, just another political interest group. Simply put, we must be clear about what we are for, and we must be clear about what we are against. And most importantly, the tough decisions that gospel faithfulness demands of Christians, especially in this cultural moment, cannot be made based on a concern for reputation. After all, we need only join in with the choruses of support for abortion and the sexual confusion of children if we wish to improve our social standing. Or at least we should lower the volume of our moral outcry, as so many Christians already have. As Chuck so clearly exhorted, our task is to serve a society's conscience, seeing all of life from God's perspective, and interpreting that vision in prudential terms for our fellow citizens. And that task hasn't changed, nor is it simply a political one. In all of life, in every sphere of society, the challenge and the opportunity to proclaim Christ and promote what is true and good remains. Especially now, as Paul prayed for the church at Philippi, Christian love requires knowledge and discernment. We'll have to be clear about what we are against, and we'll have to be clear about what we are for. Christ is our King. His causes are our causes. We can be appropriately for and appropriately against, but only if our love is shaped by knowledge and discernment. We'll often find ourselves in the new year and beyond against the world. But when we are, let it be because we're actually for the world, empowered by and in service to the one whose world it is. For Breakpoint, I'm John Stone Street.
20 minutes past the hour. Let's take it outside. Kevin Williams.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. High pressure will keep our weather quiet the rest of the day. Relatively mild and fairly sunny for most. But low pressure will arrive over the weekend. It starts our area with rain, but that rain will turn to snow. Our call for this afternoon, we'll have partly to mostly sunny skies for most, though clouds return to areas near Lake Erie, with high temperatures ranging in the 40s to low 50s. Cloudy tonight, a bit of rain overnight across parts of Pennsylvania, low temps 30s and 40s. Then for tomorrow, cloudy with some showers, high temps in the 40s. On Saturday, it's cloudy and it turns colder with rain going over to snow from west to east across the area. Temperatures Saturday falling ultimately through the 30s, and there'll be some snow accumulations in much of the area later Saturday and Saturday night.
Alrighty, Kevin Williams, if you're just joining us, here are some of the stories we're following for you today, Thursday, January 2nd. American reinforcements in Baghdad after this week's attacks at the U.S. Embassy there. Correspondent Paula Reed says the conflict could be a problem for the president.
One of the president's signature campaign promises was to bring the U.S. troops back home, to bring ourselves out of these foreign entanglements. Over the past several months, I've been on the campaign trail with the president when he's talked about his efforts to pull troops out of northern Syria, for example. The roof just goes off, so it's clear that he has to be careful about getting the U.S. involved in any foreign entanglements because it could potentially cost him votes with his base.
That's Paula Reed reporting. The Trump administration blames the 2 days of violence at our embassy in Baghdad on Iran. There's one less person running for president on the Democratic side.
We've shaped the conversation on so many important issues in this race, stood up for the most vulnerable people, and given a voice to those who are often forgotten.
Former San Antonio Mayor Julian Castro announcing today he's dropping out of the race. Political analyst Vaughn Hilliard.
This was a fledgling campaign that never took off. And I think when you look back at the year that was of the Julian Castro campaign, it'll be one about frustration.
Castro was the only Latino candidate running, but struggled to make a dent in fundraising and in the polls. The Australian wildfires have now killed 17 people, taken more than 1,400 homes. Thousands have been told to leave the southeast coast. Prime Minister Scott Morrison.
It's important as we work through those evacuations that people continue to remain patient and remain calm and to follow instructions.
The flames blocking roads in and out of the region where a state of emergency now up. The Navy helping to evacuate folks living along the coast of Australia. The basketball world remembering the late David Stern today. The former commissioner has died at the age of 77. Correspondent Steve Futterman.
At NBA arenas on Wednesday night, tributes to the former commissioner.
The New York Knicks mourn today's passing of NBA Commissioner Emeritus David Stern.
There are also tributes coming from current and former stars. Hall of Famer Charles Barkley spoke to NBA TV.
He's the greatest commissioner in sports history, plain and simple.
And LeBron James paid tribute after last night's Laker game here in Los Angeles.
His vision to make this game global. Don't know how many people believed in that with him, but he made this game global.
With that global expansion, the NBA is now worth billions of dollars and followed in virtually every country.
And Steve Futterman reporting. We also lost a great from the baseball world. Yankee pitcher Don Larsen passed away. He was the only pitcher in big league history to throw a perfect game in the World Series. Larsen did that back in 1956. The catcher that day, Yogi Berra.
If anything you called, he got it over and put him in the right spots. He had a good breaking ball that day. He had a good fastball. He threw pretty darn hard that day.
Don Larsen was 90. A new study suggests that artificial intelligence may be better than humans at finding signs of a deadly disease. Correspondent Gary Nunn.
A study done in the U.S. and Britain provides more evidence that AI can lead to more accurate breast cancer screenings, according to software engineer Scott McKinney.
This code is like medical school for the computer.
Study co-author Maziar Etemadi.
Most diagnostic tests are not perfect and can't always catch the cancer.
McKinney says radiologists miss about 20% of breast cancers in mammograms.
We hope a doctor wouldn't interpret a mammogram without the use of some AI assistance.
The system also cut the number of false negatives.
Gary Nunn reporting. Coming up on 25 minutes past the hour, you're plugged into the Noon Report on Family Life.
This is Faith Under Fire. Each Thursday on Family Life, we give voice to religious battlegrounds in this nation. I'm your host, Brandon Dixon. With us, Monica Cole, the director of 1 Million Moms, a division of the American Family Association. Today, we discuss the Netflix film, The First Temptation of Christ. This raised a lot of eyebrows when we first heard about it, at least in the Christian community, and this is a Netflix series, and we can get to the timing of this in just a second as well, but depicting Jesus as gay, can you tell us a little bit about this show and some of the controversial aspects in it?
Yes. Netflix had begun airing a new movie that mocks Jesus as a homosexual and the Virgin Mary as an adulteress. And the film is titled The First Temptation of Christ. And even though it's in Portuguese, it comes with English subtitles, and it's available worldwide. So many Christians all across the globe are extremely offended, as you can imagine, because not only is it blasphemous of our Savior, but it does spit in the face of Christians everywhere. So Christians are speaking up. There are several online petitions asking that Netflix pull this particular movie, and there are petitions stating that they are canceling their subscription to Netflix because many people are outraged by this movie.
As I mentioned, too, at the beginning, the timing, I think, is an extra kind of smack in the face to Christians, too, because they released this right before Christmas, right before one of the most holy times of the year and when we celebrate Christ's birth. Was this an intentional aspect, and what's been the reaction to that portion of it as well?
I would believe that it is intentional because it was released as a Christmas special at one of the holiest times of the year where Christians celebrate the birth of Jesus. So I agree that it was a slap in Christians' face, not only that they portrayed Jesus as a homosexual, but also they mocked Joseph and Mary and God as lovers, and even the three kings just joked and mocked, and the entire movie is a satire, but that's beside the point. Netflix should be ashamed. They're not airing other movies mocking other religions, and so the American Family Association is urging supporters to signed the petition asking that the movie be canceled and that supporters cancel their subscription to Netflix, because that's what will get Netflix attention.
What does a movie like this show about society's view, or maybe big companies like Netflix's view on Christians and Jesus as a whole?
Apparently Netflix has no respect for Jesus, but also for their supporters that are Christians. Any believers of faith should be outraged, whether it's Christians, I would think the Jewish population, anyone would be outraged that Netflix would, as a company, take it as far as mocking and making fun of our Lord and Savior. So Netflix may or may not care, because we know in the past they have had extremely controversial series and movies that we've had to take action on before, but they just took it one step further and extremely crossed the line when they did this at Christmas. So we do want to not only warn families and parents, but also to let any listeners know that there is still time to take action, to still let your voice be heard, because this is insulting to the faith of millions of Christians all over the world.
You mentioned not only the online petition, which has garnered millions of signatures already, and also canceling subscriptions. Are there any other measures that Christians can take to show their displeasure with this Netflix movie, and or maybe that could help prevent a company like Netflix from trying to introduce something like this again?
We can pray for the executives at Netflix that they would have a change of heart, because I would find it hard to believe someone would be saved and then take it to this extreme, mocking Jesus Christ, Lord and Savior. I would think executives, producers, they would need our prayers, because I feel like there are many that are lost that are trying to even persuade others that are lost. And it's really sad when you have this type of blasphemy
What type of damage in your mind does a movie like this and does, you know, these types of agendas do to Christianity and the message of the gospel?
I feel that movies such as this would be extremely harmful for those that are lost, that there would be confusion, even new believers. They would be confused on the blasphemy and the mockery, but we know that God never asks us to be successful. He asks us to be faithful, and we'll continue to do that by standing up for what's right and holding Netflix accountable.
That's Monica Cole with 1 Million Moms. I'm Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
Thank you, Brandon. Faith Under Fire comes your way every Thursday during the Noon Report.
Good afternoon. Here is your Family Life regional weather forecast. High pressure will keep our weather quiet the rest of the day. Relatively mild and fairly sunny for most. But low pressure will arrive over the weekend. It starts our area with rain, but that rain will turn to snow. Our call for this afternoon, we'll have partly to mostly sunny skies for most, though clouds return to areas near Lake Erie, with high temperatures ranging in the 40s to low 50s. Cloudy tonight, a bit of rain overnight across parts of Pennsylvania. Low temps, 30s and 40s. Then for tomorrow, cloudy with some showers. High temps in the 40s. On Saturday, it's cloudy and it turns colder with rain going over to snow from west to east across the area. Temperatures Saturday falling ultimately through the 30s, and there'll be some snow accumulations in much of the area later Saturday and Saturday night.
Thank you, Kevin. Finally at noon, what an end to the year in Washington State. Once again at noon, Family Life's Brandon Dixon.
Several people in the Evergreen State have an interesting story to tell about their New Year's Eve. A state trooper says several cars got trapped on a highway because of tumbleweeds. Trooper Chris Thorson says the tumbleweeds were piled as high as 20 to 30 feet in some places, and he gave it the hashtag Tumblegeddon. The highway had to be closed for around 10 hours before it was reopened Wednesday morning. Troopers even found one abandoned car trapped in the tumbleweeds. Brandon Dixon, Family Life News.
That's crazy. Thank you, Brandon. That is the world we live in this Thursday. As always, thanks for joining us. I'm Bill Price, Family Life News.
You've been listening to the Noon Report, heard weekdays on Family Life. Thank you for listening.